listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 906 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here to talk whatever it is you want to talk about. Astros were the big story all weekend long. Nationally, I don't know that anybody... Listen, we got a good baseball team here. We got a really good team here. We caught ESPN a couple of days, right? We had the Red Sox yesterday, an 11-1 game, an 11-2 game ended up. And that was on ESPN. And we also had the Dodger game, which was on ESPN. We're America's team right now. That's what we are. The Astros are America's team. America loves the Astros.
I did love that people were on Twitter yelling at those cheaters from Boston, like, cheating will not be tolerated, Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And making a point that, hey, Boston got busted for cheating 2 years in a row, literally. So nobody from Boston is allowed to yell anything cheater-wise.
No.
You're just not. You're not.
They're not. Oh, and Joe Kelly, shut the F up. I mean, I'm so sick of Joe Kelly. Shut up, Joe Kelly. You were on a cheatinous team and won a World Series on the cheatinous team ever, more so than the Astros. I don't want to hear about your, about, shut up. All right. I'm texting Lance Berkman right now to see if he wants to come on. He got a new job.
Yeah, HBU. He's HBU's head coach.
Yeah, see if he wants to come on. Congratulations to Lance Berkman. I'm glad I finally got it. I mean, that's what the dude should be. He should be teaching young. He was at Second Baptist. He was really good. He is as solid a person as you'll ever see. And he is, because of his political stuff, whatever. That's just such crap. Rice. Guess what? HBU is going to be better than Rice. HBU will be a better baseball program than Rice will.
You think so?
Yeah. And Rice was a national champion, and Wayne Graham has had him as one of the best programs in the country, and it has fallen off so badly. And Lance Berkman could have revived that program. I'm going to tell him 9:15. We'll have Lance on at 9:15 right here on ESPN 97.5.
I know he really wanted to get into managing, and that's good. He did it on a high school level.
He should.
Yeah, he did it on a high school level, and now he gets to do it at HBU. And certainly wishing the best. I texted him yesterday. I was like, now they're going to learn all the tricks. When I say all the tricks, I mean like when there's one out and you throw the baseball into the you get the second out, you throw it in the stands, how to do a knee. Like,
right,
how to
do
a fake
knee,
how to fake like you've been hit by a pitch.
Right. If anybody throws food
all
at
those,
you.
Yeah.
Right?
He's going to learn all that
Eat
stuff.
Eat it. Yeah. Who was it last week? Oh, Chris Bryant left a Snickers bar out in left field for, who's that, the big left-hander?
I saw it, and he ate it.
Yeah, and he ate it.
Yeah.
He was out there eating it. That used to play left field for the Cubs, and now he's with the Mets. Gosh, no, I forget. Anyway, yeah, so Lance Berkman's going to join us in about 5 minutes here after the break. Gilbert is back, though. Let's see if Gilbert's awake now. Hey, Gilbert.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good. What's the matter?
I had a long weekend. Went to the hospital.
Oh, no. What happened, Gilbert?
I fell on my bicycle anyway. I ain't done all day, so I went to the hospital.
Went to the hospital?
Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow. You were in that long?
Yeah, I got pneumonia.
Wait a minute. You fell off your bicycle and got pneumonia?
Yeah,
Wow.
They're going to call the police on me at the hospital. Anyway.
Hold on. Let's start at the beginning. Just a second.
Did you fall into a puddle and lay there?
Hold on, Gilbert.
I went on my bicycle. I went to West Virginia yesterday anyway.
Okay, hold on. There's
you
a lot.
Everybody, Lance, aren't you?
What?
You heard about that my father bicycle.
You heard about that?
Well, I just heard about it just now.
Today? Was it?
Yeah.
What?
No news reported?
Hold on.
News organizations reported?
I got to get through some of this with you, okay? Just a little question and answer.
What?
Hold on. Just a question and answer. Where did you? When did you fall off your bike?
Westheimer and Gessner, anyway.
Okay. Wesleyan and Gessner?
Westheimer and Gessner. So okay, when did you fall? So that's not that far from your house. When did you fall?
Westheimer and Gessner.
Huh?
Westview.
Okay, that's fine.
West Green.
You know what? Forget I asked. So then, when you fell off the bike, were you hurt badly?
What?
Yes or no?
No, I wasn't hurt at all.
Oh, that was you, Dale.
But wait a minute. I thought you went to the hospital because you fell off your bike, but it was pneumonia that got you.
Yeah, I did. Because
the ambulance took me there. So the ambulance took you to the hospital.
Oh. Wait a minute. Now, what happened with your bike, though? Did they put it on the ambulance, your bike?
No, someone took it to my house.
Oh, somebody took it to your house? Who took it to your house?
I don't know.
Oh, hold on. I'm still caught up in this. Hold on. I'm still caught up with this. I'm still trying to catch up with this. So you went to the hospital because you fell off a bike, but then they discovered you had pneumonia.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to have to pick this up later because we're up against it here because we got Lance Berkman's going to join us on the other side. But Gilbert,
but he said they called the police on him at the.
I know.
You made a mistake. Should have made Berkman 9:30. We have stuff to explore here.
Can you call us back in a half hour?
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
John, you screwed up here.
I know.
There's so much here.
Too much.
He said, this is Gilbert. Look, you see this? It's a video of a guy falling off a bike face first.
It's 9:12. We got to take a break. Lance Berkman next. I'm going.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
.916 here on The Bench, which is the name of the show.
Yep. Yeah, we don't say it, but John Lansendale. But call him again. I told him to answer his phone. He said he didn't get a call. He said, I haven't gotten a call. You want me to? Do you
have the right number? That's the question. Anyway, he said he didn't get a call.
713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. We're working on getting Lance Berkman in here, as a matter of fact, right now. Maybe you guys don't have the right number. You got it? Okay. Anyway, Lance Berkman's going to be joining us here. And then Gilbert, we'll get the full story. We'll figure out exactly what happened with Gilbert there, who had pneumonia and he fell off his bike, which is a real problem. But Lance Berkman is joining us here on the show. Lance, welcome to the show. Congratulations, man.
Hey, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
That's great stuff.
What is this, Lance Berkman? Quiet, reserved. Is this baseball manager Lance Berkman?
Well, I just said three words. Give me a break.
I just wanted a little more juice. There's a little more juice in the conversation here. Thanks.
Well, Huts. I got a lot going on.
Yeah, he's the manager of a team now, okay?
That's right.
So how long has this been in the works?
Over the last couple of weeks, for sure. Of course, me wanting to coach in college has been in the works for a while, but this opportunity has been, over the last couple of weeks, we've been working on it, so it's been good.
Yeah, how difficult was it with Rice's job opening up as well?
Well, I mean, Rice is going to do what Rice is going to do. I really have no control over that, so I have to take the opportunity where it presents itself. And I think HBU is a great fit for me. And I'm just excited to have a project to work on. And really think there's a lot of potential here from a standpoint of being in a great baseball city and getting to build a program from the ground up is really appealing. So there's a lot of things about the job that I'm excited about.
So Chase was an intern here, and he's a good friend of the show, and he played at HBU. And he says, tell Lance that former HBU players are here to help with whatever he needs. So
yeah, well, that's, you know, one of the things I want to do is try to rally the alumni. And, you know, I think that's part of what you have to do when you're building a program is incorporate some of the past guys. I think the college programs that have been really successful, especially here recently, make it a point to try to incorporate as many of the former players as they can, because it really is, you know, it helps build that family type atmosphere that's so important when you're recruiting. And, you know, it's great for fundraising, and in many ways the alumni are kind of the lifeblood of the program. So that's one of my goals, is to try to get as many of those former guys as I can back involved.
Yeah, Lance Berkman with us, manager HBU here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You know, with your name, I don't know, do people still remember who you are? I don't know if people.
I don't know either, and it really doesn't matter at this point because because I've got a job description that doesn't require them to know who I am.
Well, it does when you're sitting in the living room and saying, you know, I hit 50 bombs at Rice, and I remember I played in the big leagues too. I don't know if you remember that. So I know how to get there. I know what it takes to get there. So send your son to play for me.
He's not La Russa. He's still. Yeah. I mean, he's
look,
not.
I mean, look, the whole,
he's
the
still
whole
in his 40s.
You gotta understand. Just because you could play doesn't mean you can coach. And so I'm looking at this like, hey, this is an unproven territory for me. I got to sort of earn my stripes and prove to people that I can coach. So the playing career is great, and it's a, you know, I think it's a good asset to have, especially when it comes to, you know, sort of knowing what it takes to get to professional baseball and be successful there. And I can help shorten the learning curve for a lot of kids that have those same aspirations. So in that way, it's very helpful. But in terms of, you know, like I said, just because you could play. In fact, I'm sitting here thinking of all of my former teammates. There's only a handful that I would consider to be capable of being a good coach, just because of the communication aspect of it. And you know, some of those guys have a hard time communicating effectively.
Who are those guys?
Well, I'm not going to name names here, John, but they're definitely out there. And I think, you probably know some of them.
Oh, yeah, I know a few of them. I know a few of them. So Lance Berkman with us here. Managing HBU. Now, what kind of team are you inheriting? Do you know, what do you know about them?
Well, they weren't very successful last year. I know that they won 14 games. I think they were like 14 and 30-some-odd, so not a great record. But like I said, you know, I think this university is a sleeping giant. I said that yesterday in the press conference. I may have said it earlier. I'm getting older, so I can't remember if I'm repeating myself. But, you know, being in Houston, being in a warm weather environment, we play in the decent conference in the Southland. So there's a lot of things that I think are really positive. And it's just a matter of getting the right guys in the school here. And, you know, we're going to have to be really good at identifying players that may be a little bit under the radar and then developing them when we get them into school here. So if we can do those two things, I think we'll be successful. And I the first thing we've got to do is raise the profile of the baseball program, because it's not something, I mean, you know, if you think, oh, who has Division I baseball in the city of Houston, obviously you think of Rice, you think of University of Houston. HBU sometimes is not even mentioned in that. So the first thing I got to do is raise awareness and say, hey, this is a legitimate program. We're going to be a force to be reckoned with going forward. We're going to develop good players, and we're going to give these teams like Texas and A&M and Baylor, and, you know, in our midweek games, we're going to give them a handful when they come play us, or when we go play them. So that's the goal, and if we can do that, you know, being positioned where we are, I think we have a chance to be really good.
You famously had a pretty good pitcher work with you when you were a high school manager in Andy Pettit. Do you anticipate reaching out to any friends or any former baseball people to come work with you, or at least gauge their interest in working with you at HBU?
Yeah, and I've talked to Andy about coming over and being the pitching coach, and at this time I think he's you know, he wants to stay with Luke. He's got a son that's going to be a junior at Second Baptist, and he's helping out over there. He's the pitching coach at Second. So I think until Luke graduates high school, he wants to stay there, and which is great. And, you know, of course, a couple of years from now, you don't know what his temperature is going to be. I know he's an excellent coach, and he's great with the kids, so I'd love to have him as part of the program in some capacity, even if it's not full-time. But, yeah, as far as other staff goes, you know, there's certainly – I got some names in my mind. And what I'm really looking for there is I'm looking for younger guys that have been in the coaching business that are, you know, that are hungry to work. And because that's – we're going to have to out-hustle people, and we're going to have to get out there and cast a wide net with relationships and look at kids and get in living rooms, because we're going to get told no a lot. So I got to have guys that are willing to get out there and really work. And so I know a couple of kids that I say kids are young men. I mean that I really like and that I think would be great in that capacity. And so just starting the process now of identifying assistants.
Yeah. Lance Berkman with us here on ESPN 97.5. Isn't this a little bit different? Is college baseball a little bit different that I don't have to go to one of the biggest names? If it's, you know, football, Alabama offers, or, you know, whomever. Baseball's a little different, and basketball's a little bit different too, that I can go to a smaller place and I can still shine and I can still get what I want done and possibly be seen by major league scouts.
Yeah, and the thing about both of you mentioned basketball also, you know, you don't need as many players. And so, I mean, in baseball, if you know, give me four really good college pitchers and we're going to be competitive. I mean, that's all there is to it. So because you don't need to have 60 guys that are blue chip prospects to be successful, there's a lot of parity in college baseball. And so, you know, and baseball players develop a little differently than football players do. Sometimes it takes them longer to kind of come into their own. And so there's the opportunity to have a guy that is, let's say you got a pitcher, but well, I mean, the perfect example is Matt Anderson. When he came to Rice our freshman year, he was throwing 88 miles an hour in the fall. And by the time he left, he was throwing 101. So, you know, guys can really develop in college as baseball players, leaps and bounds, you know, a little bit more than they do in the other sports. So that creates an opportunity where if you can, you know, some of it's luck. I mean, you just get lucky. Hey, I like this kid. I like his attitude. He's got a good frame and a nice arm action, but he's only up to 86, 87. And then all of a sudden, next thing you know, he's a mid to high 90s guy. That can happen to you, but being good at identifying those guys gives you a chance in college baseball where, like you said, I mean, heck, if you're not in the Power Five and in college football, you're pretty much just, you know, you're just playing a schedule. You don't really have a chance to compete, but I do believe, you know, even a good mid-major has won the, I mean, heck, Rice is a mid-major. They have a national championship. Coastal Carolina is a mid-major. They have a national championship. It's not, you know, not just going to Omaha, but actually winning the thing. It can be done. So, we're going to set lofty goals and expectations here, and hopefully we can live up to them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Lance Berkman was here on ESPN 97 and learning from a guy like you. You know, all the tricks of the trade, like when you're running into the dugout with only two outs, you know,
yeah, fake
knee injury. Yep. When you don't get hit in the head with a pitch and you hold your head. Yeah.
Yeah. Most programs are only going to get, you know, kind of what I would consider, you know, Johnny standard baseball coaching. What we can offer at HBU is the more nuanced, some of the finer points of trickery and, you know, fake injuries are a big part of that. Learning how to work umpires, you know, that kind of thing. We're very astute in those areas.
More of a holistic approach.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. A lot of these programs are just developing like hitting and pitching and that kind of thing. I mean, that's only part of the game. They don't really understand the other parts, but we do. So we're gonna offer that, and that's gonna be a big part of our game plan.
When you're kicking the ball out and around out in left field, and it ends up in a baggie. And then,
right,
and, yeah,
yeah,
right.
That, you know, and I'm not. We're not above saying the pulling the old, "Hey, what's that over there?" trick, and the guy when he looks over there, kind of thing. So, no, we'll take every advantage we can get.
No, you have to. You have to.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I'm sure. Like, yeah, like in baseball. I mean, San Jack, it's a different level, obviously. But San Jack became. Well, I'm sure San Jack could have beaten how many of the Division I programs and whatnot. You get some talent in baseball, it doesn't matter how big a school you are. This is this is a sleeping giant in the middle of the city of Houston with all this talent here. I'm sure you're going to keep a lot of guys home.
Well, and you know, the crazy thing about baseball, and again, I'm not discounting the intangibles in other sports like football or basketball, but for some reason, it seems like baseball belief is such a huge component of it, and the confidence of, just as an example, when I was playing with the Astros, we had never won a playoff series, and you know, in 2004, we brought in Andy Pettit and Roger Clemens. Both guys had tremendous success in the postseason and had won World Series. And it was like, when we brought those guys in, it legitimized our team. And not that we didn't have great players on our team with Bagwell and Biggio and guys like that before, but bringing those guys in did something for our confidence. And so when we got into the postseason in 2004, we knew we could win. And so that belief, the power of belief is something in baseball that has a huge impact. And so if you get, if you get a couple guys on the mound that can really get it done, and then you get a group that really believes in itself, you can beat anybody. I mean, you really can. Baseball is a funny sport that way. So, I absolutely think that, you know, that we can be successful here. Even nationally, we can be successful. So, it's just, matter of, like I said, getting the right kids in here and developing them, getting them to believe, the right mindset. I mean, all that's very important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're going to be limited with, hey, what did you learn coming up in baseball? I'm not going to point any fingers, but you got to watch these kids' arms. You know, I know you knew that at Second Baptist, but you see some college coaches heavily criticized for throwing guys way too much, worrying more about wins than that kid's arm. That's something that you have always got to keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and I think that starts in the fall, like with your arm care, the way you get guys ready physically. The strength and conditioning part of baseball has come so far since when I was in school there. I mean, I remember, you know, being at Rice and, you know, our pitchers were doing power cleans and snatching the bar up over their head, you know, that kind of thing where it puts a lot of strain on the shoulders and you kind of think about that and cringe. But, I think you start in the fall getting guys in shape, making sure they're doing their arm care, their mobility, all the things that we've learned over the last 25 years. And then you just have to monitor, you know, and you got to know your personnel. I mean, some guys can take a bigger workload than others, and you just have to, you know, you do have to be careful because it's not just if the kind of player that I want to get to come to HBU are the kind that have aspirations to play beyond college. And, you know, in order to get that kind of kid in, they've got to know that, hey, look, I mean, I'm going to take care of you. I'm not going to put you in a position where you're jeopardizing your future with baseball possibilities because I want you to throw 220 pitches in a game. I mean, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to be very cognizant of that. And you know, you never want to hurt a kid in any way. So I'm here to help them. And so that's what we're going to be about.
Yeah, but isn't it going to be difficult for you? I mean, when you're telling them, hey, you guys got to work out because they're going to go, well, I saw a video of you, coach. It looked like you never worked out. So that's
one of those things where perception and reality are two different things. And mm-hmm. You obviously can't get to the major leagues without putting in a tremendous amount of time and effort. And so again, these kids are going to work I had to work. I mean, it wasn't like, hey, I just rolled out of bed and showed up, even though that was the persona that I sometimes like to put out there.
And the body type too, you know. I mean, you weren't like the most muscular guy.
You can't escape John. Yeah. He continues to try to come at you with this.
No, it's just, you know, you have a little bit of a boiler, but don't forget, I did play a full season in center field, so yeah. I wasn't that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Up the,
where you're turning left.
World famous catch, yes. up the hill. Did he not make that?
No, so he did.
Just be careful when you're talking about being out of shape. You know, like, I'm not saying I was the greatest center fielder in the world, but they thought I could handle it, so they put me out there. And if, you know, you're not going to have somebody that weighs three bills running around out there. So.
Yeah, but they also put Biggio out there, so, I mean, we got to.
Well, yeah, I mean, but Biggio is in great shape, and he still is.
I know. I think they were desperate, but never mind. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. All right.
You're just saying. That's all you're saying.
That's all I'm saying. Hey.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, this is unbelievable. You know, you could make a great politician because you managed to say absolutely nothing in about 5 minutes of talking.
Use some of those in the living rooms when you're talking to parents.
Yeah.
To get the kids to come.
They'll be confused. They'll be so confused. They won't know what's going on.
Just say, I want you to come. Just saying. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
Lance Berkman, manager. Are you head coach at Houston Baptist? He is the new baseball in charge at HBU. Congratulations, man! And we know this is what you've been wanting. So this is great. Best of luck. We'll be watching out for your club.
All right. Thanks, guys. Always great to be on with y'all.
All right.
Lance
Berkman.
Good luck.
Right here on ESPN. 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. Great to talk to Lance. Hey, I want to talk right now about the Rockets and the Rockets' run. The Rockets' run is pretty cool. It's awfully important because it raises money. And here's the thing. Here's what's the best about it is you can do it at your preferred time. You know, all these 5Ks, 10Ks, these kids' walks, all this stuff. You know, it's all together, everybody's crowded, and then you start, and that's a great way to spread some kind of disease, but they're not doing it that way. You can do it at your own pace when you want. All you have to do is go and find out how you do it at rockets.com. And the Rockets run is going to support the Children's Memorial Hermann, which is a great beneficiary. And this is something that is awesome for the community. Rockets have always been a great charitable organization, making sure that they raise money for those who need it. And they do it with this run. And all participants are going to receive a Rockets Run t-shirt, a race bib, a race medal, and a mesh bag as well. So go to rockets.com, find out how and when you can do it whenever you want, but how you do it at rockets.com. That's rockets.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 9:37 on ESPN 97.5. Great to have Lance Berkman on. Congratulations to him.
How about this?
Love Lance Berkman.
Cub fan Timmy said the other day on the Cubs broadcast, they were talking about nicknames, and DeShays told how Milo refused to say Big Puma. And you know why that is. Milo hated our show.
Yeah.
And because that got started on our show.
Yeah.
So Milo was like, I won't do it. I'll just keep calling him Berkey.
Yeah.
So I'm sure is what he called him. He just threw a Y at the end of a name.
He's the Big Puma. Yeah, I'm the Big Puma. Yeah.
Berkey.
Mm-hmm. So Gilbert, we got to get, back to Gilbert now. For those of you that missed it earlier, Gilbert was here before Lance Berkman was on, and Gilbert told us that he fell off his bike and got pneumonia. So he was in the hospital, and we had to cut it off because we had Lance Berkman coming on.
Now, they discovered the pneumonia at the hospital. He didn't go to the hospital for pneumonia.
Well,
I think he went to the hospital for the bike accident.
Well, he fell off his bike and got pneumonia.
I don't think that's how it happened.
That's what happened.
At Bring him on.
I thought he fell off his bike because he had pneumonia. And then they found out that it was actually pneumonia at the hospital.
No, okay, I think Gilbert, might have fallen in a puddle. I don't know.
Gilbert, set us straight. What happened?
Gilbert, what happened?
You fell off a bike, right?
Yeah, the ambulance took me to the hospital anyway.
Okay, they took you to the hospital.
It was terrible, terrible.
Right, it was terrible. They took you to the hospital for your injuries when you fell off the bike? Gilbert?
Yeah.
How did
my oxygen level? It was low.
Oh, how did you fall off the bike? What happened?
The reason I didn't eat that all day, but you know, I tried to pedal and then tried to get on back on my bike. I couldn't do it anyway. I just passed out with the heat out there, hot out there.
He said he had
Thursday anyway, you know that. Don't you ride? I didn't get nothing to eat anyway, and I fall off the bicycle. Anyway.
I believe at some point he said he hadn't eaten all day.
I fall off the bicycle for the windy. Yeah.
Whose house?
And what happened? You don't eat.
Yeah, you don't eat.
You get real weak. Is that true?
Yeah. Yeah, and it was
well,
hot.
Well, you say you have hold on. You say you have diabetes too.
Right.
What? Yeah.
Okay, right. So if you don't eat the right foods, you can get lightheaded and dizzy, correct?
That's true, but the main thing was my oxygen was real low anyway,
Okay, and
so
then...
The doctor told me I got pneumonia anyway,
So so they found that you had pneumonia when you were in the hospital?
Yeah, Is this Gilbert...
Is this like a satellite delay?
Yeah, this is
a different continent.
Or it's the other thing is, you know how when you're telling a giant lie and you're getting questions, you have to pause and try to figure out things, and that's why
Gilbert,
there's delay.
Gilbert, this isn't a lie, is it, Gilbert?
Mm-hmm.
Gilbert?
No, ain't no lie.
There's a 5-second delay with Gilbert. He's definitely on a different continent.
That was him, not me.
Gilbert, quick question. So they found the pneumonia at the hospital. Now, I remember you kind of threw in there we were all talking, and I heard under the conversation, and the police were called on me at the hospital. Did I hear that correctly?
No, someone called email you.
Someone emailed who? He is on delay.
He's on a delay.
He emailed Lance,
Who emailed Lance?
Yeah, or John Cardano, anyway,
But hold on. Did you tell me that the police were called? What do you mean you don't know?
He did say that.
You did say that. I heard you say the police guy called.
There were no policemen out there anyway. Ambulance,
Story's changed.
But I heard.
About 5:15 in the afternoon.
Now, could you pull? Is there any way you could find that?
Have
one of your coworkers pull it up? Pull it up so we could find out whether or not Gilbert. I'm pretty sure you said police were called.
He did say
on you at the hospital. Did you say that?
What is?
Yeah, that? In the hospital on Friday.
Yeah,
so
why?
Police were called.
Why were the police called?
The next day.
They didn't. But they came and talked to you?
Acting up anyway at the hospital.
Oh, you're acting
there
up.
There we go.
Hold on now.
What? You're what acting up at the hospital.
Here we go. Gilbert, why were the police called?
What did you? Why? How were you acting up? Why were you acting up?
What is?
I want to go home anyway. Got tired of that anyway.
I don't blame you.
Oh, he wanted to be released.
And besides, when I went to the hospital, they had somebody that had to be watch me all the time.
Were you
so
handcuffed?
Tired of seeing all anyway.
Were you handcuffed to the hospital bed?
Still got no privacy anyway.
Privacy.
No.
He is listening to this on a delay.
He's got a nurse there to watch you all the time anyway.
What is going on?
Yeah.
He's hearing all of this on a delay.
He is. This is.
How is he delayed from the
on the phone?
Area?
How is he delayed on the phone?
I don't know.
It's all very confusing.
This is very. This whole thing is.
Hello?
We're here.
Don't worry about us.
Yeah, we're just trying to figure this out. So you fell off your bike. You went to the hospital. They found out you had pneumonia, so they had to keep you. And then you started acting up because you didn't want to be there. So they had to call the police to calm you down, right?
That's right. Not for police, security guard.
Security guards.
Oh, security guards. Okay. All right. So did you settle down then and you behaved better?
Yeah, I fell down.
Yeah, all right.
I want to put in the mental hospital place,
Yeah, no one wants to go there.
No, nobody wants to go there, Gilbert.
30 bucks set?
Yeah. All right.
Okay, there you have. Hey, where have the Verlander? Pitchnell, where were they now?
Who?
Justin Verlander.
Verlander. He had an elbow surgery.
Justin Verlander.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got you. This delay is killing us. He had an elbow surgery.
This Gilbert story is harder to follow than a Christopher Nolan movie.
It's Memento is what it is.
It really
is. I get
real
sad if B.J. Thomas died. You know that?
Yeah, B.J. Thomas. What was your favorite song by B.J. Thomas?
You know that? I'm real sad if B.J. Thomas died.
Yeah, we heard that.
What's your favorite song?
He died on the weekend. You hear about it?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
What's
your favorite song?
I Just Can't Help Believing.
Was that ever number one?
I Just Can't Help Believing, you know.
Watch this. I thought Raindrops would be your favorite.
I Just Can't Help Believing. Yeah, I like that song.
Well,
a little bit more.
How does it go?
I'm not sure.
I Just Can't Help Believing, you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gilbert, was that ever number one?
I Just Can't Help Believing when you love.
And it comes in
I don't know. I don't remember that. I remember that song.
Was it ever a number one song?
I Just Can't Help Believing.
Was it ever number one?
No.
Raindrops Keep Falling in My Head. Was that ever number one?
I Just Can't Help Believing.
Yeah,
I know. Was Raindrops?
We understand.
Well, yeah, it wasn't one. Raindrops Keep Falling in My Head. Number one. Yeah.
When was it number one?
Yeah. So I'll talk to you later, Jim. Okay.
When was it number one?
No, we're done here.
Yeah, that's all.
This delay
was this?
That was the worst. That was
a Christopher Nolan. I told you, it's Memento. He's Guy Pearce.
That was.
Is he the killer? Did he actually kill his wife? Did she kill her? Did she kill herself? This is who he is. Is it two killers or just one? He's got short-term memory loss. Entire movie.
There was either something distracting him or we were on satellite or...
Kyle, he was on the phone.
I know.
There's no delay on the phone.
I don't know that. 946 ESPN. That was hard to find.
What?
And I don't even know when it's real anymore. Do I need to talk about something?
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on the show, 949 ESPN 97.5. What movie did Raindrops Keep Falling on Your Head debut in?
I know the answer to this. I've never seen it, but it's Billy and the. No, it's a Sundance. What's it called?
Butch Cassidy.
I never saw it, but I know that's what it was from.
You never saw the movie?
No.
It's a good movie.
I heard it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
I'm not one of these people that. I don't go back
don't
and
like
watch
classics?
Old movies.
I should.
I went back and watched the one with North by Northwest.
Oh, that's
a
great movie.
Yeah, I decided to watch that, and it was a good one. And I've never seen the one where there's a run on the bank. It's a Wonderful Life.
What?
Right? Isn't that what happens? Yeah. There's a run on a bank or whatever?
You've never seen
It's a Wonderful
Life.
You know
what I've never seen is the kid that sticks his tongue on the pole.
You've never seen A Christmas Story?
No.
Have you ever seen Blood In, Blood Out, if we're going to talk about classics?
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen
Blood
the classics.
Blood In, Blood Out is a little different than A Christmas Story.
Or
yeah,
is it different than...
you ever seen Once Upon a Time in America?
I have.
Yeah, it's good.
I did see that one. Yeah. I haven't seen the one where they go, "You're out of order! This whole court's out of order." I've never seen that
one. That's Kramer versus Kramer.
No. That's isn't that Dog Day Afternoon?
This whole court's out of order? I think it's a movie about.
Because it was Al Pacino.
Yeah, it was Al Pacino, but no, where he was a lawyer, not a bank robber.
And Justice for All.
Justice for All.
Yeah, same thing.
Justice for All. Kramer versus Kramer was Dustin Hoffman.
I did see that when I was a kid. I think I had to go with my parents. What am I doing watching this?
It's terrible.
What am I watching this divorce movie for? What are we doing?
Hey, Dad, what are you trying to tell me?
What are we doing here at this one?
Yeah.
No, I don't go back and
watch
the classics that
much. You ever watch Casablanca?
Nope, never seen it.
Oh, my gosh, is that a good
movie? Yeah, never seen it.
That is awesome,
Never
dude.
Seen, frankly, my dear. I don't give a damn.
That's it.
That's not Casablanca.
Casablanca. Yes, it is. Oh, no, Gone with the Wind.
Gone with the Wind, yeah.
Yeah, Gone with the Wind was a little long.
Never seen Gone with the Wind. Never seen Casablanca. Have you ever seen American Me, another prison movie?
Yeah.
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 That's another classic.
But why are you going to
Well, the class. We're
80s,
talking about the classics.
That's not a classic.
That's the classics. 90s, early 90s prison
movies is not
a... Mexican prison movies. That's actually not... if you really want to get specific about the genre.
No, you need to go back and watch Casablanca. It's an awesome movie.
Yeah, I might check it out one day. Might not. I got other stuff I got to watch. I got to finish Startup.
Startup is awesome.
My wife said, "You got to quit power watching this and get out of the bedroom." And I just said, "I mean,
no, why?
Do I?
No.
Why laying kids, on the bed watching?
The kids want to do their own. They don't want me around."
Did she have a compelling reason why you needed to leave the bedroom? Because that's always what's
no.
Why?
I had to find out what's your reason
to find out to with the eat dinner with your family.
I had to find out what's going to happen with the racnet.
Like if she goes, "You need to get out of the bedroom. Can you give me a reason why?" And then you judge the reason. If she doesn't give you compelling reason, sorry.
Mm-hmm. She had some good reasons, but like I said,
like spend time with your family.
That's not a good reason.
If that was put to you,
yeah,
to spend time with your family.
Well, it's clear I've already made the first mistake of starting a family.
Mm-hmm. But so, once you make that mistake, it's a series of mistakes.
Two wrongs don't make a right, John. Let's correct.
Now I have to spend time with them.
Yeah, let's correct that mistake by isolating myself from them.
Well, that doesn't correct the mistake.
Yeah, it corrects the mistake I made.
Of having another human being.
Like I told you last week, it's a dark part of me that when people tell me that they've had a kid, I'm like, I think less of you now.
That is a dark. So how much less do you think of Lance?
Well,
because he's like a.
It's too late. Like if he told me like
machine.
If he told me somehow, some way they saved some eggs and he's gonna have another kid. I'm like, really? What's the matter with you? But he's already had him. It's too late for that. Yeah. He had the kids before he met me. It doesn't matter now.
He's already spit out five.
Yeah, and the other thing is somehow he has the means to take care of these kids. Like people are like,
oh, he'll find out. Oh, it ain't exactly
not
what
now,
he thought.
Well, when college comes, college. It'll change.
It's a scrap right now.
But there are other people.
I already told my kids, this is how much you get. Anything after that, get y'all's loans out.
Yeah, but
your loans out.
There are other people like loading up. I want to have three or four with what money? Why are you having three kids?
Yeah, don't just throw a number out there.
Yeah,
I think I kind of got into that issue with my wife's. Like, I think she had a number in mind. You don't go with a number. Don't have a number in mind. See how it works out. Like, do one and see, how's this working out? Then do two, like, whew, that second was a real problem. We're going to shut it off here. Sometimes you may think you're going to shoot for six, and you say, it's like, I'm going to go out for a run. How far are you going to run? 5 miles. All of a sudden, it's really hot. It's humid. You're not feeling too good. You're getting a little lightheaded. Boom. You shut it down at three.
When you buy a car, you budget and go, okay, this is what I can afford per month to pay. If you ain't got the money, why are you setting yourself up with, I want to have four kids. You going to have the money to pay for all that? Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, got to be logical at some point.
No. You get to keep your money. You get to spend your money how you want to spend it.
Yeah, somehow there's families with like 8 to 10 kids, and they make it work. And I'm always thinking,
how.
I don't know how this is possible. Honestly, I don't know how they all stay in the same house. I don't know how there's not massive fist fights every single day. I don't know how. I just don't know how people who have 8 to 10 kids can do it. It seems impossible.
Oh, back in the day, my dad was in. They had 13 kids.
I know. How did he do it?
I don't.
They were all working somewhere on a farm. Were they working when they were seven or whatever?
They weren't on a farm. They were in the middle of Chicago.
Yeah. Was it an urban garden that they worked at? What were they working though?
They all worked. My dad had to quit
a factory
quit high
job.
School and go to work.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, he went to the army, so.
Well, you didn't see your siblings the whole time.
No.
Y'all had to work at button factories and stuff like that.
Button factory.
Stay here, Pops. I got to get home because I just made 17 cents with this button factory. It's a good job. Put it in the jar, little Johnny.
You want the lights to stay on? But, Dad.
But, Pops.
I don't want to work in the button factory.
Pops, can I have a biscuit? Get a half a biscuit. That's all you get.
Biscuit. Can I bring some kerosene in when I wash my body with this bathtub shower I got to take where I pour a bucket of water on my head? You bring the kerosene in there to little John.
Yeah, you know they're reusing the water.
Oh. You do not want to be the youngest.
Mm-mm.
This whole that whole water. Ugh.
That no, swill at that
my
point.
My Aunt Yola had a beauty shop downstairs where they ran numbers out of the back. I swear to God.
We believe you.
Yeah.
You didn't have to
they
add
ran
that
numbers
part.
Out of the back.
They ran numbers out of the back of the beauty shop.
Yeah. She said we had to because that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They said.
Make money, though.
Guess what we're doing? You keep that back room for us. You got your beauty shop. That you're fine.
Oh, you had to, as in it wasn't your family running the numbers.
No.
Oh, just numbers were being run out of the back. Numbers were,
yeah.
That's old school. Like, okay, yeah. Well, we're going to be running numbers out of the back.
Well, okay, then. Yeah.
It's better than coming and asking for an envelope every month.
Yola, Dudu, Fifi, they all work there.
All the ants?
All the ants. Yep. Yep, all of them.
Yola, Dudu, Fifi.
Yeah. Yola, Dudu, Fifi, Tootsie. Yeah, that's my...
Doesn't sound like anybody's God-given names.
No.
I mean,
none of them are.
Well, they're not God-given names.
Yolanda, Lena, Yola, Dudu, Fifi, Tootsie, Julia. Julia had a normal name. I don't know why. I don't know why she
and
got the normal
name. And they all worked in the place?
Well, they were little kids when Lena was running the beauty shop. Yep. Yep. Yeah. 958 ESPN 97.5. What did they say when they left, though?
Bye, bitch.
Whoa. That's... Wow. I don't think they said that ever. You didn't use that kind of language back then.
No.
Now, you smoked cigarettes.
That whore Janice Rossi.
Yeah.
Was the word whore thrown around a lot in that beauty shop?
Hua.
No.
Only if they said hua.
Hua.
No, that's a New York thing.
That hua Janice.
Yeah, that's not Chicago. That's New York.
They're whores. All right, we're done with Lance. Del and I continue it on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5.
Loaded, ready to rule. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.